Damas y caballeros, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Big Mo, and I am pleased to welcome you to your podcast main event. Introducing first, your host, he hails from Mexico City, Mexico, presenting Chair Monster, Jose Manuel. I am ready. Our host is ready. Are the listeners ready? No, I said podcast listeners tuning in across the world. Are you ready for Che Monster Talks?
Well, today's guest is the owner of Super Rare or Super Rare, whatever the fuck you want to call it. The man, the myth, the legend, Dylan Limpari. What's up? Thanks for accepting the invitation to the podcast.
Yeah, man. I don't have a ton of time these days, but when the stars align and I can do something like this, this is always a lot of fun. So thank you for having me. Thank you for caring enough to have me.
Bro, you're the man, bro. Let me tell you that. Do it again. You have. When I was on your store in New York City, I felt like a kid on Disneyland. I was the fucking happiest guy on the entire planet. It was beautiful. The excellent service, excellent products. Let me tell you that. It was an amazing experience, first of all. And let me also congrats on your now that you're gonna get married. Congrats on that. And congrats on your amazing fucking brand. You're a genius, first of all. Let me tell you that. I got the One Series gloves here, right here. And let me tell you, I can't believe how fucking amazing these gloves are. Let me thank you for creating this masterpiece of technology. I love the whole idea of your brand. And I wanted to ask you how the idea of doing Super Rare popped on your mind.
So my brother is the one who started this whole thing by himself. Okay. He also designs our gloves. So he's the genius when it comes to that. The amazing service you got in the New York store, that's my genius. But the gloves you're holding is his genius. And Super Rare in itself was the beginning stages of it, or East Coast MMA was started by my brother in 2011. Myself and our partner, Pat, became members of ownership like 4 years, I'd say 3.5, 4 years into him being in business by himself. And we helped, all three of us together, grew the brand as you know it today to, the very nice words you said. Thank you. That's very kind of you to say. I'm glad you had a great experience and like our stuff or our selection in general, because we don't just carry our own stuff. But my brother started it just more out of necessity than anything. There aren't really many stores like ours exist. You know, the surf shop evolved, the skate shop evolved into being these like more lifestyle stores where you don't necessarily even need to surf to really shop in there, you know? There's cool stuff that is adjacent to that kind of space and that lifestyle. But if you do, say, happen to surf, then it's the greatest store of all time. So my brother asked himself, why is there nothing like that for fighting? And so then here we are. I mean, it's super rare. As you would walk into our stores today, it looks much different than it did in 2011, but that's kind of how any business that's evolving, with the times. But, you know, he started it by himself, and then myself and our partner came along a few years later and helped grow it to what it is today, into the brand that it is today.
I love the whole idea. It's very like friendly, even if you're not a fighter. All the t-shirts, everything. Like right now I'm wearing the Sagat t-shirt because I had to get one as a Muay Thai fighter who loves Street Fighter, you know. It's very nerdy, friendly. I don't know how to describe it, but it's very like friendly. Even if you're not a fighter, you want to get in. You just want to look inside.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of the idea, man. Like combat sports is one of the most welcoming communities period. In my opinion, like, I'm sorry if anyone's had a different experience, but you know, not every gym is for everybody, but generally speaking, like I have met very few douchebags in the combat sport world who are, you know, who actually train. And it's a wonderful community that really is for everybody. Our stores, our main customer is someone who trains in any capacity. You know, you don't know how many people come in my store. So like, well, I'm not a professional. I'm like, yeah, dude, you and 99.9% of everyone else. There's a very small percentage of people that do this professionally. But like, you know, our main customer is somebody who trains in some capacity, whether it be for fitness or for competitive purposes, or just to learn a new skill, stay in shape, and, you know, be confident. So we like to appeal to, you know, from our apparel side of things, we like to appeal, you know, to things more than just the actual discipline. Like a lot of people who train also grew up playing Street Fighter or might be younger, didn't grow up playing Street Fighter, but, you know, are fans or familiar with that game. So we like to do, like when we got that license, it was just a cool thing that's like fight adjacent, to where you don't need to train to wear that shirt, but if you do train, it's like doubly cool, you know? I mean, Ali and Bruce Lee, those licenses, and Joe Frazier, like those make sense. We have a new one coming. No one knows about it yet. That's going to be very cool. It's not a fighter, but it's not a fighter.
Ooh.
That's where I'll leave that. But that'll be released hopefully this fall or this holiday season, like the first drop from that stuff. But we like to attract people into the store that don't necessarily train. Does it happen every day? Yeah, actually it does. But it doesn't happen, you know, we might get one person who sees a store like, oh, this is kind of cool. You know, we get a lot of people who are fans of the sport who just want non-douchey apparel, you know? And we sell non-douchey apparel for people who like combat sports, which, you know, is kind of hard to find. You know, something that doesn't say like, just bleed MMA. Like, who the fuck wants to wear that shirt? There is a market for that shirt. You will not find it in my stores. But like, we like to appeal to everybody, man. You know, it's because combat sports is very welcoming. And the way we treat Super Air is more in the sense of, we are here to care and service the combat sport community, but as well as represent it and uplift it. So if we can represent it to somebody that might just think it is just people punching each other in the face and there is no art to it, or there is no community aspect to it, they come into our stores and they leave thinking otherwise.
I can agree completely with that. And I'm impressed about how diverse all your inventory is, because you can get from $500 winning boxing gloves to $120 Venom gloves. Like, it's,
oh dude, amazing. We're coming out with a Super Air glove that's going to be $60.
What?
Yeah, no one knows about that shit either. But like, times are tough, man. You know, like, it costs more money to be alive these days, at least in America. And we are aware of that, as well as we are sympathetic to that, as well as we are also alive and, you know, dealing with the same shit. So we thought it would be cool to come out with a glove that is still a $60 glove, but it's a damn fucking good $60 glove, I can tell you that much. Most brands who sell $60 gloves, they are not great. That's why we don't carry them from other brands. So we're making our own, and we think it'll be a good option for somebody who wants to get their feet wet without like putting their safety at risk.
That's amazing. I've seen a lot of guys here in Mexico. I'm located in Mexico City, and I've seen guys who go to boxing classes and that and whatever. And I'm going to trash talk brands who make shitty, cheap gloves. But the Velcro Everlast gloves are bullshit. We both know which exact model we're talking about. I saw your face just light up because you know specifically what kind of glove I'm talking about.
Yeah, dude, my whole life is gloves. I that's all I do is look at gloves and amongst other things. But, you know, I don't like to speak ill of brands, but I do have a very funny story about Everlast from our New York store. This guy comes in, this is years ago, this is like 4, 5, 6 maybe years ago. guy comes in and we're just talking, and he says to me, he's like, you know, I notice you guys don't carry any Everlast. I say, oh, well, that's because Everlast never lasts, man. And he's like, what? I was like, well, the thing with Everlast is their inexpensive gloves are horrible. They're actually illegal to sell them. They don't provide any protection. And in fact, to me, that's only going to make someone not continue training because they're going to hurt themselves. I was like, and then your gloves that are good quality are way too much money. You know, like, we don't carry it because your $200 power locks, I can get you a glove that's $110 that is the same quality and arguably a better glove depending on your preference. So why would I carry Everlast? He's like, oh, okay, blah, blah, blah. And then he gives me his card. The guy's a fucking CEO of Everlast. And I was like, you might want to, you could have stopped me in the middle of like the shit storm I just spoke about Everlast. But, you know, like, I know trainers who love it. I know trainers who swear by Everlast. You know, that's the thing with gloves or any training equipment is that not everything's for everybody. Which drives me nuts that people think that, you know, a Reyes glove is bad because it's just not the right glove for them. Reyes, there's no such thing as a bad Reyes glove. It's just a very specific glove with a very specific feel. So it's like, just because we don't put our brand behind Everlast and sell it to our clients, doesn't mean it's not for somebody. But is it for us? And would it be my first recommendation? No, definitely not. In any capacity.
Talking about recommending gloves, there was a great video of you on YouTube where you were giving a short guide on how to choose the correct boxing gloves for you. And sadly, that video got taken down. So, yeah.
I don't remember any of the videos, dude. Why did it get taken down?
I don't know. I just looked at it. A friend of mine was looking for some new gloves, and I said, hey, this video was perfect for me. Maybe it will work for you. And I was looking for that video, and I told him, okay, I gave him a quick recap. It was like, okay, if you want bright, beautiful colors, go for Firetex. If you want some wrist protect,
that video, that guy, that company, I think went out of business. That was a funny night. We were there filming that till like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Damn.
I swear, dude, it was crazy. My buddy Jeremiah, who's like a coach in New York and in LA, talented boxer, great human being, like frustratingly handsome, dopest style. He dresses better than anyone I know. He hits me up. He's like, dude, can we use your store to film this like thing I'm doing with this company? He's like, they want you in it too. And then typical like Dylan fashion, I was like, yeah, fuck it. Okay, cool. I didn't ask for any information. But they show up with like a legitimate camera crew catering, and we're filming till like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like looking at my watch. I'm like, what the fuck is going? I've been here since 8 a.m. I've almost been inside the store for 24 hours, but I think that company went out of business, and I think that's why it got taken down.
That's so sad. It was a great video. I like watched it, and I sent it to a lot of friends of mine who I was just, you know, how when you're an MMA fighter and you're talking with other fighters, you want to instigate them, you want to get them to join your fucking cult.
Yeah, dude. I mean, like, usually that's jujitsu guys. Jujitsu guys are like the CrossFit people of martial arts. All they do is try and get you to start jujitsu if you don't do jujitsu.
Bro, I love jujitsu.
Me too, man.
Actually, yeah, I want to tell you something. Ask you.
I'm all ears.
Do you enjoy watching my wallet die slowly? Because that's the only fucking store I've ever walked around the world and said, fuck, I wish I would have spent more money.
That's a really nice compliment, man. You probably should have spent more money. What the fuck, dude? No, I'm just messing with you.
Trust me, bro. I will. Trust me.
Well, like, I'm sure you'll come back. That's kind of you to say, man. I just want to do cool shit and do right by people, you know? And I'm glad that's resonating. Like, I answer every customer service email myself, and I don't know if people realize that or not, but they... you know, I don't have to do that, but I do that because I care and I want to know if someone has an issue and stuff like that. So like, we care, man, and we try our best. So I'm really glad it's working in some capacity, because to be honest, I have no idea. I work 7 days a week and have no idea how people perceive my brand, how big it is, how small it is. I'm in the LA store more frequently these days than the New York store, because I'm out on the West Coast, but I still go to the New York store at least every few months. And outside of being in the store, I have no idea, none whatsoever. So it's very kind of you to say that. And I appreciate when anyone tells me that, because that gives a little perspective into what other people think about what we're doing over here.
I love your store. When I went there, I went for some Bangarang stuff, like the hat.
Bangarang stuff's real cool, man.
I love it. So I got.
Just wait till you see what's coming out,
bro. I can't wait to see that shit. Like,
it's gonna be dope as fuck, dude. I just did all the invoices for it. It's gonna be very cool.
Also, I regret not buying one of your geese. Like, one of my friends
came out with new geese, dude, and we shipped to Mexico City. What the fuck?
I know. I need one of those. I need one of those. I literally need one of those. I already have 5 geese, but I say fuck it. Why not a 6th one?
You can never have too many geese, man. When I was moving out here, I got rid of a bunch, in a shockingly quick amount of time. I posted on my Instagram stories. I was like, hey, I got a bunch of A1s for free. Anyone want them? And then they were gone in like 12 seconds. It was insane. Because I wasn't going to bring all those geese out here with me. And I also prefer no gi, I'm going to be honest with you. Out here in LA, I'm afforded an opportunity to train more and spar more MMA, which is not something I get to do too much in New York. It's more single discipline stuff. So I prefer no gi out here. I trained twice today and sparred twice today. I am hurting right now. That's beautiful. But that's cool. You know, like, it's a cool thing out here where, you know, in New York, there's not a ton of MMA schools. You know, there are definitely MMA schools, and there are definitely MMA programs within those gyms that specialize in just Muay Thai or Jiu-Jitsu or both. But out here, I just have more friends who are in that kind of those kind of circles. So I get to do that out here. So I prefer no gi. But we did just come out with a new super rare gi, and we did just launch a new international website a few months ago that makes life very easy for all our international customers.
Trust me, I saw that. I'm going to get the one series now, but I think I will get them on the lace one, the lace sub version.
The lace is cool. Dude, we just came out with new super gels. The super gel is my favorite glove that we make, next to the Italian ones. Well, yeah. As far as non-Italian gloves, I like the super gels the best. I love the one series, don't get me wrong, but I do fuck with the super gels.
Why is the super gels better, on your opinion? Why do you prefer them?
I like the padding and the lining. The lining is definitely very different, and the padding has a layer of gel in it. And I was a touring drummer for 10 years. And then on top of that, I've been grappling and doing jiu-jitsu for 8 years. My fingers are fucked, man. So it's even today, sparring in 7-ounce gloves for 5 rounds, for 5 minutes a round, my hands are killing me. So I like the extra padding in those gloves.
Now, you just said that one cannot have too many gis. Can someone have too many boxing gloves?
Absolutely not, dude. Should someone have too many pairs of fucking Jordans? Definitely not. You know, at least it's okay to crease the gloves, you know, and to beat them up. No, I mean, whatever makes you happy. Dude, you know what? At the end of the day, if you're into gloves and you like collecting them and having different options, and you train enough to where you can use those different options, then that's awesome. Then do it. Yeah, you know? People always tell me, you're such a good salesman. I'm like, I haven't even fucking started selling you shit yet. You just wait. But truthfully, I'm probably the worst salesman. I oftentimes I don't push anyone to buy anything, even in the stores. If I'm on the sales floor or online or in any capacity, if fits you right and you like it and you need it, then buy it. You know, if it's cool enough and you want it, then yeah, buy it. I'm never going to tell you not to buy something if you don't want it. You know, if you life's too short, man. you know, the only thing that matters is happiness. So if having a lot of gloves makes you happy, buy a lot of gloves. And I know a place where you can get them, superwareshop.com. But I have a lot of gloves. You know, I have right now cycling between, I have a pair of 10s in my, I have the Enorme bag we make. I have a pair of 10s in the Italian S50s. I have a pair of 16s in the Italian S50s for sparring. And then that's it. I have 10s and 16s right now, but I have other gloves in my garage that I have not used or haven't used in a long time that are still have a lot of life in them. So I like gloves, man. I think it's cool. And it can't hurt to have, if you do it enough, it can't hurt to have a pair of 10s or like a very lightweight glove and then a sparring ounce and stuff like that, different feels. You know, like a Reyes glove feels very different than a winning glove, or a rival glove feels very different than a ringside glove. So it's, you know, different feels for different purposes.
Now, I was going to ask you, what's your, I was going to ask you some questions about some different kinds of people you would see on an MMA or a jiu-jitsu gym. And I wanted to know, what's your opinion on these stereotypes and these kind of people? What do you think about heavy guys who wears pads without shorts on them when you're going to grapple?
I mean, I think wearing spats without shorts is a fashion faux pas. I think it makes an entire room of people feel uncomfortable if you're the only guy in the class like that. I don't care. I mean, I honestly don't care. Can we see your entire dick? Probably. But is that your problem, not mine? Yeah. I have Jesse, my store manager in LA, only wears spats all the time. And I always kind of poke fun at it. But like, he prefers that, you know, like I don't do that, but he prefers that. So each his own. Like some gyms have rules against that. Some gyms won't let you do that. Personally, I don't care. As long as you're not a dick, then let's train. I'm just going to really try to avoid, you know, I'm going to really try to avoid your midsection. That's the only thing. It's funny. I'm like, do you not realize that the whole class can see your dick? Like, what the hell, man? It is what it is. I don't really have too many opinions on it. Like whether it's a heavier guy or a skinnier guy, it's all the same to me. Wear shorts. Just wear shorts. Like it should be shorts and spats. But like the shorts should always be the thing. Like you should always be wearing shorts. If you want to add spats, wear spats. But I'm not the gym police. I don't particularly. Live your best life, you know?
What's your thoughts on people who grapple while wearing Muay Thai shorts?
You know what? That's how I met my good friend Josh, who used to work for us in the LA store. I swear to God. Mr. Josh Trevallio. I was training at 10th Planet West LA, run by a guy named Einstein, Scott Epstein. I fucking love that guy. He's from Queens, New York as well. And I very much enjoy his overall being. Makes me feel like I'm back at home. But I was at his gym. We're training. It's late. It's like 10:30. And I see this kid come in like 20 minutes late into class, reeking of weed. And he's wearing Muay Thai shorts and a rash guard tucked into it. I'm like, yo, this kid looks wild, right? So the last round of the day of the class, I'm like, yeah, do you want to train? And he was like, yeah, bro. And so we trained. He had me in a fucking triangle, dude, for probably, without exaggeration, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, 3 minutes. Well, 3 minutes. Didn't tap me, but I defended that thing for 3 whole minutes. It was exhausting. And afterwards, when the bell rang, he let go, and we were both like, what? And then he worked for me for like a year at the store in LA. You know, I'm going to be honest, man. Things like that don't bother me. Like, for all I know, that kid, this isn't about Josh, but I'm saying in general, like, for all I know, that kid could train Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu and might not be able to afford grappling shorts. He kind of, you know, has to pick one, but his gym also requires you to wear Muay Thai shorts for Muay Thai class. So he was wearing Muay Thai shorts. I don't give a shit. If you're just showing up and training and you're not like kicking me in the balls, spazzing out egregiously, like poking me in the eyes or biting me, then I don't give a fuck, dude. Like, let's train. Just don't be a dick. Like, wear whatever shorts you want to wear. But that's how, that's funny, because that's how, it's exactly the reason how I met one of our former employees and to this day, good friend of the store and myself, Josh. It's because he was wearing Muay Thai shorts in jiu-jitsu class.
What's your thoughts on, well, I don't know if this happens in the US, but at least it has happened here on Mexico. It happens a lot. There's a lot of guys who will go to a jiu-jitsu tournament while wearing a stinky gi because it will make the other guy feel uncomfortable.
Oh, chemical warfare.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens everywhere. MMA fighters used to do that, like not bathe for weeks and just fucking reek. I think that's gross, dude. That one I have a hard opinion on. Like, that's fucking gross. That's how you get stiff. Like, trust your jiu-jitsu is better than the other guy. And not, like, what? Like, that definitely happens. I know a lot of gyms, and I've seen this happen in, you know, first person. I've seen this in real life. Gyms tell someone they couldn't train because they are gi-stunk in the gym. So it's like, I've seen in competitions, that's a thing. I've never seen that firsthand, but I do know that that's a rule. Like, your gi needs to be clean. It can't smell, at least here in America. I don't know about Mexico.
But yeah, I hope it's not a rule, but I have been to tournaments where people really don't care about that.
Yeah, it's fucked up, dude. I'm not about that life.
Now, I know you also did a video on a guide how to choose your first Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu gi.
Yeah.
When you showed how it should fit and why the most common recommendation is getting your first gi to be a white gi because it's the most traditional and you can wear that basically everywhere except on the Gracie Baja because it's a cult and you need to wear it there. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu gi. What's your thoughts on all these places where they make you wear a fucking uniform?
Make your money, man. Like, no one's making you sign up at that gym. So, you know, like, it's a business practice that I probably would do if I owned a gym, you know? It's a shame that a lot of those gis are on the shittier side of things and they're all so thick. I don't know what that's about. But, you know, it's one of those things that's a hard thing to really have an opinion on. Like, do I lose business personally because those people won't go buy gis from me because I have to wear a Gracie Baja one? Like, yeah. But, you know, like, I get it. I own a business, dude. Like, I get it. We have 9 minutes and 57 seconds left. So, I get it, dude. You know, like, I would never hate on a gym for anything like that. You know, I would hate on a gym for, like, sexual misconduct or, like, those stupid fucking videos I see where the coach is just beating the shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Line. Like, they're all like this, and you're just fucking ripping body shots, hitting them in the face. I'm like, what, are you paying this guy for CTE? Like, what the fuck? Like, I take issue with that. But, like, you know, if I show up for Gracie Baja and they're like, hey, it costs $200 for the month, and then you also have to buy this gi, which is going to cost you like gross, gross markup, like probably like close to like $180 or more, just like insane. But they're not putting a gun to your head to sign up. So it's like kind of on the person signing up. I have no opinion on it. I own a business, so I get it, dude. Like, make your money. It's hard to make money, dude. And, you know, like, if that's a way that whoever owns that Gracie Baja could pay their bills, then and more power to them, dude. Yeah, it's like, I want to see everyone win. Do I love it? Bro, no. More customers for me. But is it, you know, my place or to even have an opinion on it? No. I'm neutral ground. We get people from Gracie Baja in our store still. I don't know where they wear the stuff because I know that they have to wear Gracie Baja stuff, but, you know, it's cool.
What What's a really like shitty opinion to have on some particular brand of gear? Like people here, at least here in Mexico, people will fucking marry their fucking Cleto Reyes because that's as a Mexican brand is like,
yeah, Hecho in Mexico.
Yeah, and people would fuck with you if you don't like their gloves. Like I actually I was almost kicked out of a gym because I said I don't like Cleto Reyes. I prefer Firetex. At that moment, that was the best boxing glove I had tried, but I hadn't tried the Super Rare.
Well, that's actually pretty funny because we always refer to Firetex as the Cleto Reyes of Thailand because they have a very similar feel as far as the feedback. Most of their gloves, not the BGV-19, but the BGV-1s, the BGV-16s, the 20s, the 22s, all the fucking codes. All of those are very similar to Reyes. And then they make a glove that is fucking almost identical to Reyes, which is the BGV-9, which is the Mexican cut glove, which I wouldn't imagine you would like if you don't like Reyes. But it's just funny that that's the glove you like and you don't like Reyes because they are very similar. I have no opinion on something like that, but I can tell you right now that here in America, people would be like, what, you don't like winning? That's insane. People out here will pay way too much money for those gloves. We sell them when we sell them for the right price, but I've heard people paying $600, $700, $800, $900 for a pair of winning, which is absurd. That glove costs $450 in 16s, and I still think that's a little on the high end, but that's what they cost. And it's a great glove, wonderful quality. But like, it's almost people like, it's like a winning cult. No one's ever kicked me out of the gym for not, I don't like winning. I just don't use winning. You know, but that would be the glove out here people would like sweat over a lot.
What would you say is the best glove of the oldest Super lineup?
I would say either the S40 or the S50. Well, it depends because all of our gloves are great quality. The Italian ones we make are exceptional quality. That is a level up. You know, that's a level up that is on par with like Reyes, with Winning, with Fly, with all the other like top tier brands, Grant. But then also the inverse of that is the One Series glove is the fucking amazing glove for $99. You know, the Super Gels are fucking incredible for $129. So they're all really good, to be honest. But in my opinion, and this based on pure facts on paper, and what I use, the Italian gloves we make are far superior to anything else. The S50s, if you like a more winning style feel, or the S40s, if you like a more Reyes style feel.
I don't know why, but the best gloves I have ever tried are the One Series. That's why
I think going to get another one. Do you know why that's awesome? Because they're only $99 and you love that glove. So it's not like you love a $400 glove and every time you need a new pair, you're going to have to spend $400. Every time you need a new pair, you have to spend $100. That's fucking great. You know, like that is kind of why we make so many gloves at different price points. Like we'll be coming out with a $90 super gel, like some vegan leather option. And then we're just coming out with more lines now too. So I'm very excited to launch those. I can't wait to see what our clients think. But yeah, man, it's just like one of those things where gloves are personal. You know, some people love Adidas, some people love Nike, some people love Asics, you know, like when it comes to their sneakers, you know, some people love Reyes, some people love Winning, some people love Ringside, some people love Venom. I don't know why, but they do. And Hayabusa is like, fucking Hayabusa has the most cult-like following. Either people love them or they fucking hate them. There is no in between, which is always very funny to me. It's a good glove for sure. But that one's always funny because people will come in and be like, I only want Hayabusa. What do you got? Or they'll be like, I want to see everything except Hayabusa. I fucking hate that glove. Like, okay.
I remember you saying it has great, great wrist support, which is kind of important for some people just like you. Yes. And I who have fucked up hands, as far as at least for what I understand, you have fucked up wrists. Dude, or only fingers.
I also do a lot of cooking, and like I also perpetually cut myself with knives. I took like a chunk out of my thumb yesterday. Where's my camera? Camera's down.
Okay, yeah,
so like my hands are beat up both bone wise and skin wise. Everything is all fucked up.
I feel you, bro. I feel you. I don't know why, but like all my fingers are fucked up, are crooked, are destroyed. I don't know why. I don't even. Well, I mean, shitty gloves.
Punching things. That's why.
Punching.
I mean, even my great gloves, dude, you're still punching things.
Exactly. Also, punching things with shitty gloves before even fucked up my fingers for the worst. But now I always have to have a shit ton of tape on my fingers and wear very fucking specific kind of gloves, you know? Now, on the last mute, unless you want to, we could do another Zoom session to continue the podcast, but if you don't have that much time.
I have to start cooking dinner.
Okay.
For my fiance. What
would be your last like big tip for anyone getting into MMA, martial arts, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, even karate if you want to say anything about that?
Well, what's your if you're an adult and you're trying to get into karate, I highly suggest you think otherwise. But anybody that wants to get into boxing, Muay Thai, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, MMA, wrestling, whatever it is, like even karate or taekwondo or whatever the fuck it is, just fucking do it. That's the thing, man. Is like, I know it's intimidating. I own fight stores. I fucking know a lot of people, and I still get intimidated walking into gyms that I've never been into. Even if I know the trainer I am going to go take a class with, or I know the owner, I still get a little intimidated until I'm in there, you know? So like, I get it, but just fucking get over it and walk in, and there's like literally a ton of new friends waiting for you inside that you just haven't met yet. And then the moment you start, you know, training, you've made millions of friends around the world. You know, like I was in Indonesia training jiu-jitsu with a guy named Nico Han, who was one of Hickson's first black belts. And he, you know, I welcomed me into his gym with open arms and made a ton of friends with some like local kids who trained jiu-jitsu, who took me around fucking Indonesia, man. Took me around Bali, rather. And showed me shit I would have never seen. And they trusted me in their cars. They trusted me on the back of their motorbikes because we train, you know? So it's like a very cool community. And I hope everybody would give it at least a try. Is it for everybody? No. But is it for most? Yeah, definitely.
Thank you very much. It was amazing talking to you.
Oh, dude, we can do this again. You know, like I can give you an hour of my time the next time. Like this will be a lot of fun. This was fun. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. And I love your gear, and I will get some new shit real soon. Thank you very much. I love your stuff.
That's very kind of you, man. I hope you have a wonderful night.
Same. Thank you very much.
Thank you, buddy.
Bye. Thank you, bro. Goodbye.